Good morning, everyone. If you would like to open up your songbooks to song 487, 487, that will be the basis of our lesson for this morning. The title of the song is Open Our Eyes, Lord. Let's read this together. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Open our hearts, Lord. We want to know Jesus, to follow and trust him, and show that we love him. Open our minds, Lord, to think of his goodness. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. In this song, Open Our Eyes, Lord, the author begins with this simple request so that we may see Jesus. If you're like me, this past year has left us with a clouded vision of not only our long-term future, but our near-term. What had seemed so certain no longer is. There is difficulty in processing information. We question who says what, where it comes from, and what it's supposed to really mean. And what makes me think of all this is a particularly bad day I had recently, in which it just seemed like people were in my office all day showing this clouded vision by expressing legitimate and unfounded concerns about our country, the government at all levels, and the health and economic well-being of friends and family. Later on in that same week, I was discussing with a good friend our own outlook for friends, family, and especially our brethren. And you know, we had a lot of questions, but honestly, we had very few answers. But when I think of this song, we actually do have the answers. I like the fact that the author opens with a request made to God. A prayer life that is focused upon God is going to give us a sense of drawing nearer to him. Now, while God is not to be treated like a vending machine where we insert a prayer request and out comes God's answer, a humble prayer with specific requests will indicate to God that we are his obedient servants. And we do have a willingness to have him guide us. Remember, God can handle any attitude we bring to him. Are you feeling angry, desperate, alone, and as if your life is spinning out of control and you're rejected by God? Well, speak to God about it. Not sure if God can handle your anger directed toward him? Well, I want you to think for a moment about Psalm 88, the Psalm of Heman. We're going to read this, and as I read it, I want you to pay close attention to the 1st, 2nd, 9th, and 14th verse. Psalm 88. Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night, I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. I am overwhelmed with troubles, and my life draws near to me, near to death. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken from me my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, Lord. Every day I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth I have suffered and been close to death. I have borne your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken from me friend and neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend. Now, we don't know for sure what has caused Haman to write this. Perhaps it is a similar situation as Job, and he feels that he has suffered for no apparent reason and is indirectly stating to the reader his innocence. Perhaps he is not so innocent at all, and he has lived a sinful life, and now he is seeing the consequences of his actions. We just don't know. What we do know is Haman declares in verse 1 that Jehovah God is the God of salvation. And we see that he continues to call upon the Lord to be saved from his present condition. With his life full of pain and anguish and despair, his vision is still clear enough to call upon the Lord. The second verse of the song says, "Open our hearts, Lord. We want to know Jesus, to follow and trust him, and show that we love him." And this is where our faith really begins to grow. By listening to God, opening our hearts, and beginning to trust him more and more each day. Now, it's not often we can work from a position of strength, especially in this world in which we live. But I want you to think of the 12 spies that Moses sent to the Canaan land. In Numbers 13, God tells Moses to send these spies there as it is the land he will give the sons of Israel. In other words, God tells Moses, "I'm giving the Israelites this land." After the 12 spies go to the land and they return, it's at that point we find out who can really see. So while all 12 can physically see the land, for 10 of them, what they see is they have fear in their eyes, and they see giants and a physical strength among the enemy. To Caleb and Joshua, though, they see a promise fulfilled, a land of milk and honey. They have listened to God. They want to follow and trust God, and they want to show that they love him. You know, we gain some insight into the faith of Joshua in the book of Joshua, chapters 1, 7, and 8, where Joshua is instructed to follow God's law and to meditate upon it day and night. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7, it begins, "Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may achieve success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will achieve success." And then near the end of his life, when Joshua is addressing his people for the final time, he tells them in Joshua 23:14, "Now behold, today I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one word of all the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed. They all have been fulfilled for you. Not one of them has failed." In the book, The Right Kind of Strong, the author points out that the world tells us to rely on our own strength and to find strength from within. Yet the Bible tells us to look to an infinitely more powerful and reliable source. Hannah recognizes this. As we see Hannah's prayer to God in 1 Samuel 2:9, she states, "For a person does not prevail by his own strength." Now, the author of this book, The Right Kind of Strong, goes on to cite that out of the 264 times the Hebrew word for strength is used in the Old Testament, that it refers to spiritual strength. Hannah recognizes this, that for her to physically deliver a child, it will take her spiritual strength in petitioning God for assistance. We see something similar to this in the New Testament, where Paul tells the Ephesian brethren in Ephesians 1, 18 through 20, he says in Ephesians 1, 18, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the wealth of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the mighty working of his strength. He exercised this power in Christ by raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavens." Go back to the Old Testament just for a moment. In the book of Job, in chapter 38, God begins to ask Job a series of questions over the next several chapters, to remind Job of the absolute strength of God. Some of the questions that God asked Job are, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Who set its measurements? Have you ever in your life commanded the morning and made the dawn know its place?" Well, of course, the answer to all of that is, it's God who's done those things. The same God who has the power to create the earth, the heavens, the oceans, the morning and the night. The same God who has the power to breathe life into man and raise Jesus from the dead. It is the same God whose power works in us who believe. This is where we draw our spiritual strength from. Think about that for just a moment. Regarding Joshua's plea to the people to meditate upon God's laws and that his words will not fail the Israelites, God's words also has not failed us in that he brings us Jesus Christ into our lives. As we continue this theme of opening our eyes, we should consider the Ethiopian eunuch. In Acts 8, as the eunuch is sitting alongside the road reading but not understanding Isaiah, the angel of the Lord gives him Philip to guide him. Philip teaches the eunuch about this man described in Isaiah, Jesus. In verse 35 of Acts 8, it says, "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from the scriptures, he preached Jesus to him." So we see at one point the eunuch can physically see, but he cannot yet spiritually see without the help of Philip to teach him. And we know the story ending is the eunuch hears and believes and then is baptized. But maybe the most impressive part to me is his attitude of rejoicing just by listening to Philip teach him about Jesus. We hear of a similar story of conversion in Acts 10, where a Gentile named Cornelius summons Peter to his home. When Peter arrives, Cornelius tells him, "Now then, we are all here present before God to hear everything that you have been commanded by the Lord." And as Peter speaks and the gift of the Holy Spirit is poured out onto the Gentiles, eyes are opened to God's message of his son Jesus. As the message of Jesus is heard and received, hearts are turned and many are baptized. Brethren, as we look to the days ahead, remember, we do so from a position of spiritual strength. God is with us. Don't let fear blind you to the blessings of God. We are rich with God's spiritual blessings beyond what we can ever repay. Our guidance will come from the Lord. Embrace his holy word and allow it to work in us, eliminating fear, building faith, and giving us confidence that God's promises will be fulfilled. Knowing that Jesus, the Son of God, as Lord of all, should give us a great deal of joy, which helps us in removing the anxieties that can overwhelm us. And as we gather our families together, let's do so in the presence of God, submitting ourselves to Him and His will. Let's read this song one last time before we end. In the first verse, it says, "Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him and say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. Open our hearts, Lord, we want to know Jesus, to follow and trust Him and show that we love Him. Open our minds, Lord, to think of His goodness. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus."